Sometimes this world can break your spirit, that's for sure. Comparisons and doubt will leave you feeling insecure, but you
so very much, and it is a privilege and a joy to be with you this morning. Before I get started, I just want to thank all your volunteers and staff for being so absolutely wonderful, and you know they're wonderful, but I want to thank you for your hospitality and your help in bringing me here today. As Cynthia mentioned before, I had a wonder moment, a moment of inspiration a few years ago, where I got to see Maya Angelou speak at the Richmond, it was called the Mosque back then, it's now the Landmark Theater. And Maya was more than a writer. I think most of you know that she was a Renaissance woman. She could dance, she could sing, and she put on a presentation that night that was very spiritual and very moving, and she integrated her storytelling with a musical theme. And she told all of us that day that we were all a rainbow in the clouds for one another. And when I left the auditorium that night, I was so thrilled because she gave me permission to just take my music ministry a step further. And so from that point on, I started to create music lessons, and it's really a play on word. I promise not to teach you any music theory. I just tell stories and present lessons woven with my songs that I've written. So my topic today, the name of my talk is The Wonder of It All. And I'd like to start with a few questions for you to ponder. How do we stay young at heart? How do we breathe life, new life, into jobs that we've held for years? How do we invigorate old relationships and see our partners with a brand new set of eyes? How do we keep our faith alive and bring meaning and purpose into our daily routines? By approaching life in a state of wonder, we can fight the tendency to get jaded, cynical, or bored. Now, seeing the world with a fresh set of eyes can be a challenge, but it's worth it if you want to stay young at heart. Life can be so governed by our routines. We wake up, we make the coffee, we drive to work, we do our jobs, we come home, we do it all again. So how do we stay creatively alive and connected to what really matters? Well, what I'm learning is one way is to simply make a conscious decision to see the sacred, to see God, to see the divine in the ordinary. Look for God's presence in ordinary things, and you will be amazed. Now, you know, I'll tell you, it's not always easy because it means we have to keep our eyes open, and it means that we have to be willing to stop in the middle of really important stuff to take in the beauty of little things. But it's in these moments where we feel most vibrantly alive. Albert Einstein said, and I'm going to quote him a lot today, he's very quotable. He said, "He who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe is as good as dead, for his eyes are closed." Now, living requires courage. And I'm going to clarify that statement. It doesn't take too much courage to just get through life, but to stay young at heart, to overcome your losses and heartbreaks with your goodness, your heart still intact, to hold on to your ideals and live your convictions, to be a person with faith when it seems that everyone around you is jaded and cynical, you know, to be that audacious and that bold to believe that peace is possible when everybody else has given up, that takes courage. Jesus spoke about being like a child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I do believe he was referring to this state of wonder, that if we can maintain that innocence and that freshness, we will live in a state of heaven right here. One of the best teachers and the fastest ways that I've discovered to experience more wonder in my life is Mother Nature. I'm trying to spend more time outside every day, at least a half hour. A matter of fact, that is a recommendation from Deepak Chopra. He says, 1 half hour every day is so good for your spirit. Mother Nature is a great teacher. Her natural cycles demonstrate important truths about life and renewal. For most of us, our busy lives revolve around being inside our cars and being in our offices and in schools. And so we rarely get enough time to connect with the beauty of Mother Nature. But if I look back on the highlights of my life, I can honestly say some of my most moving experiences happened outside. It wasn't my college graduation or winning a songwriting award, but a beautiful moment in nature. These are those moments when time stands still. Now, the meditation experience that I shared with you this morning, that's a story that I, from my own personal life, I experienced that about 30 years ago. And I'll share that back then I had bouts of depression. And I was at the beach for a vacation in North Carolina. And one of those melancholy moods had been with me for a while. And I'll share that if you've ever suffered from depression, it's not being sad that is the worst aspect of it. It's a feeling of powerlessness. It's like this black cloud would descend upon me and I'd start to worry, how long is this going to last? Am I ever going to find my smile again? And so out there on the beach that morning, when I saw the porpoises migrating, and I sat in the sand and took it all in, I realized that there was a force in life, a magnificence, a something. Something that governed the rising, the falling of the tides and the changing of the seasons and the migration of porpoises. And all of a sudden in that religious experience that I was having, I realized too that I was a part of this creation too. And despite what I was feeling, I realized in that moment that I was going to be okay. Though it happened so many years ago, it still lives so vividly in my memory. And I'm glad that I can share it with you. So, Mother Nature is a great teacher. She most certainly is. But you know what? You don't have to be on a beach or in a garden or outside to experience a wonder moment, which takes me to my first story. A couple years ago, some friends invited my husband and I to University of Richmond to a jazz concert presented by vocalist Diana Reeves. And man, oh man, what a great show that was. It was powerful and uplifting. And after her performance, I said to my husband, I'm going to run to the ladies' room and I'll meet you in the hallway and then we'll depart. I followed the signs and found the ladies' room. And as soon as I found the ladies' room, I noticed that outside the door, somebody, it appeared, had taped a little notice or sign. On front of the ladies' room door, I saw the words, "Trans people welcome." Well, I didn't really understand what it meant at first, and so I had to process it. And then I remembered, you know, the year was 2016, and the state of North Carolina had just passed a law prohibiting people that were LGBTQ from using the bathroom for their gender identity. This would be in schools and government buildings. And when it happened, it created quite a political firestorm. I'd have to admit, I really hadn't thought too much about this issue. I thought it was unfair. I thought it was mean-spirited, but it didn't impact me personally. And now, all of a sudden, in this moment, from the flow of all the good music and seeing that sign, my heart became overwhelmed with emotion. I had a moment of wonder. You see, the political climate in our country had been so toxic that year. And if you only watched the news, you would be under the impression that everybody was angry. And here this little sign, this scribbled, handwritten sign, "Trans people welcome," taped to the door, was a reminder to me that kindness was alive and well right here at University of Richmond. Now, all of a sudden, there was another woman standing with me staring at the sign, and I glanced over at her, and she was an elderly lady, very well-dressed. And I will tell you that Richmond is a part of the Bible Belt, and I could feel my body bracing up for maybe an uncomfortable conversation. You see, based on her appearance and her age, I prejudged her. I thought she would be narrow-minded. And do you know what she said? She looked at the sign and said, "Trans people, welcome." "Well, isn't that a thoughtful gesture?" It was another wonder moment for me because I realized how I wasn't always seeing the world with a fresh pair of eyes. I wasn't always seeing the good in everyone. And before I could hug her, another person was standing outside of the door with us. It was creating quite a conversation piece. It was her husband, and he said, "Well, well, ladies, what's going on out here? A party?" And we showed him the sign, and three strangers smiled and agreed that the sign was a good sign indeed. A wonder moment. Yes. Yes, a moment when your faith and your idealism are restored, maybe just for a minute, but they're abundant if you keep your eyes open. You know, there are angry people in the world. We see them on TV all the time. But I want to assure you today, and this is my belief, that there are more people that will give you the shirt off their back. I believe that. If you needed it, there are. On a side note, that sign also reminded me how easy it is to start a love revolution. Someone on that campus, some young person, decided to take action on a subject that was very important to them. And in that moment, they raised the consciousness of a few people. And here I am sharing this story. So you just never know what the power behind your small acts. That story reminds me of a quote from Mother Teresa who says, "There are no great acts, only small acts performed with great love." So this next story that I'd like to share is about wonder in the workplace. And I will say that at work especially, we are always being faced with the opportunity to be jaded and cynical or to see the world with wonder and a sense of what is possible. A few years ago, I heard the story about Johnny, a 19-year-old individual with Down syndrome. Johnny worked for a large grocery store chain as a bagging clerk. And at this grocery store chain, they offered mandatory trainings for all the employees. So Johnny was invited to a training on customer service. During the training, all the employees were encouraged to find ways that they could give excellent service from their heart to their customers. They were encouraged to think beyond the routines of their particular jobs and find a way to put their own particular stamp on it, what it was that they were supposed to do. Well, Johnny thought about it for a while, and at first he didn't think he had any good ideas. He was, after all, just a grocery bagger. And then he got a creative idea. He decided to create a thought for the day, that he would put that thought for the day inside every grocery bag he filled. The more he thought about it, the idea started to gel in his head. He said, "Every night after work, I'll go home and figure out the inspiring message for the next day. If I can't find a good quote, I'll just make something up." He asked his father to help him print multiple copies on the printer of his thought for the day. And Johnny would cut them out and individually sign each inspirational message. At work, he would place one in each bag he filled, and then he'd look the customer in the eye and say, "Thanks for shopping with us." Well, Johnny implemented his idea, and about a month later, the store manager noticed something disturbing during his daily rounds. There was a very, very long line of customers waiting to check out, and they were all in Johnny's lane. Quickly, he sprang into action. He opened up another lane, brought in another employee to work that register, and tried to usher the customers into the open lane. Imagine his confusion and shock when the majority of people said, "No, no, it's okay. I'm not in a rush. I'm here for Johnny. I like his thought for the day." One woman even said to the manager, "I used to come here maybe once every couple weeks, but I come by every time I need something now because I like Johnny and I'm collecting his messages." Now that was something. Within a few months, the manager noted that the entire store was beginning to be transformed. Other employees were now following Johnny's lead, finding small ways to bring new life to their jobs. For instance, the floral department, it used to be if they had a broken flower, that would go right into the trash, broken corsage into the trash. Well, now they would walk around the store and find a little girl or an elderly woman and pin that corsage or flower on their lapel. The culture in the store was changing. They were there not just to perform their jobs, but to give a great experience to their shoppers. This story demonstrates a few spiritual principles. The first thing is the power of our creative thoughts and ideas. But my theme today is wonder, so the big theme would be the wonder of how one person can make a difference. You know, Johnny's idea was not so innovative as it was honest and loving and straight from his heart. You know, it was real, it was authentic, and that's what touched his customers, his peers, and anyone that hears this story. He left a lasting impression. If we can make a decision to approach our jobs and our hobbies with a fresh pair of eyes and innocence, we can avoid the burnout that is so common. We can avoid boredom. And, you know, when I was writing this talk, I learned something very interesting. The Chinese symbol for the word boredom consists of two characters. One is the character for the heart, and the other one is a symbol for killing. So the Chinese actually see boredom as killing the heart. Isn't that interesting? So that brings me to a song that I'm sure you'll recognize. Oh, yeah. I did not write this song. Matter of fact, many years ago, when I was still a person with depression, I really couldn't sing this song, but now I can sing it because I know it's true.
See trees of green, red roses too. I see the blue for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people walking by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They learn much more than I ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Thank you. So, as a gigging musician, I am contracted to sing at a variety of events. And yes, that includes wedding receptions. I work with a marvelous six-piece dance band and lots of other ensembles. And I also do solo work. But this particular dance band, we play for concerts, banquets, corporate events, and weddings. So yes, I'm a wedding singer. years ago, we were contracted to perform for a wedding reception that I will never forget. The mother of the bride was gravely ill and in the fourth stage of her illness, which was cancer. And she was bedridden with her illness, but very, very determined to be at the wedding to celebrate with the happy couple. Her doctors were mixing up, she told us, a special cocktail drug, and she was focusing all of her energies on being healthy so she would be there that day for her daughter's wedding. So a few weeks before the actual service, she called the leader of our band, and she said, I need to ask a big favor. She said, I'm planning on being there at that wedding that day. And I want to ask you to perform a special song that would be performed in dedication of my daughter. And she said, in the event that something happens and I'm still not there, I'm just going to ask that you would still present this song as a message from me. The leader of our band, Donald, said, yes, ma'am, we would be honored to learn this song for your special event, and we'll see you there at the wedding. When we were in rehearsal and I was looking at the words of the song, I realized that I was being asked to deliver a beautiful message, and it occurred to me how hard it is sometimes to say the things that we want to say to the people that we love. But sometimes, if we're lucky, we'll find the song that expresses what you needed to say. Well, the day of the wedding came, and at the special designated time during the reception, I asked the bride and groom to please stand and sit with the mother-in-law at her table while we presented a special song for her. And the name of the song that I shared is called In My Daughter's Eyes. This song was made famous by a country singer named Martina McBride, and I don't really want to sing the whole song, but I just want to share the final verse of the song so you'll have a feeling of the energy in the room. In my daughter's eyes, I see the future, a reflection of who I am and what will be. And though she'll grow and someday leave, maybe raise a family.
When I'm gone, I hope you see how happy she made me. For I'll be there in my daughter's eyes. So, you know, as I sang that song, I could look around the room and, you know, there were a few tears welling up in people's eyes, and I could see people reaching out to one another and touching each other's hands and so forth, a few hugs. But paradoxically, the thing that I remember most about that particular wedding was not the tears, but the joy everybody expressed. Because as soon as that song was over, the band cranked up the music as we were instructed. The dance floor was packed. The champagne flowed. Delicious food was consumed. Even the band was fed. Always a plus. And just in general, there was such a feeling of goodwill and happiness that day. And friends, I've sung at hundreds and hundreds of weddings. It was quite special. So special, in fact, that when it was all over, it was under my skin. It made me very, very happy, but also I had feelings of bittersweetness. I was trying to understand, you know, what made those people so happy. Surely they must have known that they would be gathered together for a memorial service in a few more weeks. I went home and journaled about that, and all of a sudden, I understood. There were two themes going on that day, really. Now, with a wedding, the most common theme is always new beginnings, the joy of new beginnings. A young couple makes commitments and vows to be there for one another. That was definitely a theme. But the other theme, the one that was so prevailing for me, is really the topic of today's message. It was the simple pleasure of merely being present. I'm going to say that again. The simple pleasure of merely being present. And it was demonstrated so beautifully by the mother of the bride. She bravely reminded us what a gift that life is. What a joy it is every day that we wake up. In the words of Thich Nhat Hanh, every day we're engaged in a miracle that we don't even recognize. A blue sky, white clouds, the dark, curious eyes of a child. All is a miracle. Oh, that we might all choose to live our lives always in this state of wonder, and that we might shine our lives. So I'm going to close my talk with a song that is one of my compositions. I invite you to sing the words with me, very easy.
Shine the light into the world. 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 Yeah. It is time for one and all to live the dream, answer the call. There is enough love in this room to change the world, and the world needs our love. Yeah. Shine the light into the world. Shine to the world. Shine the light into the world. Shine the light into the world.
you'll be the very hands and heart of love, reaching out into the world. Place in our human evolution, people get ready for the love of revolution. For every problem we bring the solution. Now is the time to put on your shine. When it's God in the midst of tragedy, we're living in the hands and heart of humanity. Answer the call and let love set you free. Now is the time to put on your shine. Shine the light into the world. Thank you very much.